book of Jonah tells the story of a prophet who was commanded by God to go to the city of Nineveh that contained non-Jews and preach so that the people there might be saved. Jonah was a reluctant prophet. He did not want them to be saved and boarded the ship going in the other direction. When a huge storm came up, he admitted it was caused by his disobedience to God. The crew threw Jonah into the sea, where a great fish, a whale, swallowed him. The whale spat him onto land 3 days later, and Jonah went to Nineveh. After hearing Jonah preach, the king of Nineveh ordered his subjects to repent, causing God to spare them. Then God decided to teach Jonah a lesson. He made a bean plant grow to shade him from the sun during the day, but later the plant died. When Jonah expressed regret at the death of the plant, God scolded him for taking pity on a thing that he did not make grow when God himself had pity on hundreds of thousands that were his children. This story about the prophet is all about us, for we are prophets, called to teach others. A prophet is not so much someone who predicts the future, but one who teaches in the place of God. Of the works of mercy for the soul, three pertain to teaching, instructing others, helping others, admonishing, guiding them. And we, like Jonah, can be reluctant. We need a conversion. The gospel reminds us to repent and believe. The word repent in Greek is metanoia, which really means change your thinking, tune your frequency in to God rather than to self. Go from godless to godly. The biggest obstacle to us seeking God's will in our lives is sin. And according to St. Augustine, who wrote much on the subject, and grace, the greatest sin is pride. Pride infects us and weakens us and distances us from God's will. Jonah was filled with pride. He himself was in need of repentance. His pride was manifest in three ways: by disobedience, self-righteousness, and anger. He was disobedient. God told him to do something, and he didn't want to do it. God tells us to do things, and we don't want to do them. Why? Simply because we just don't want to be told. Nobody likes being told. Even a 2-year-old or 3-year-old don't like to be told, "I'll do it my way, thank you very much." So we avoid God's will by procrastinating, making up excuses. "I'm too old, I'm too sick, or I'm too busy, too much on." When we avoid God's will, we run from him. Jonah avoided God's will and went away from him. Although we can run, we can never hide. How can anybody attempt to hide from God? Jonah was found, and we are found. Self-righteousness. Once Jonah was delivered from the belly of the whale, and I should just add here, don't be too dismissive of the whale episode. There are in living memory people who have been swallowed by whales and survived. Their skin color has been changed by the stomach enzymes of the beast in which they were enclosed, but nevertheless they did survive. And of course, we're not told that Jonah was in the whale's belly for 24-hour days, but 3 calendar days. So it's more than likely feasible and worthy of belief that the event happened. Anyway, God brings him back to Nineveh, and he goes and he does teach, but he's reluctant. His heart is not there. It's a little bit like, I suppose, parents asking a teenager to clean the room. They go in there, they're there, but their heart's not in it. It's not that they disobey, it's just that they don't really obey. It's a token gesture. What's the cause? The cause is laziness, indifference to others, self-righteousness. What's the opposite to love? Many might say hate. I don't really know whether it's hate, but I do know that indifference or carelessness certainly is. A lack of charity is the opposite, and that's fostered by my self-righteousness. I know best. In spite of all this, God still worked through Jonah. God can work through lukewarm prophets. His grace can make up for our lack of effort, because at the end, all that matters is his grace. So even a pathetic preacher or teacher can bring God's will into play. So we are called to be therefore generous, compliant to God's will, and not foster indifference. The last point is indignant anger fostered by pride. How often are we annoyed when others benefit at our expense? We love to see our enemies suffer, as they should. Jonah was wanting to see the people of Nineveh suffer. He had perched himself outside of the city, awaiting their disaster, their annihilation. And in the heat of the day, God made a castor bean plant grow to shade him with the big leaves. And he was content in a certain comfort zone, filled with anger, awaiting their demise. So God would teach him a lesson. God sent a worm to destroy the plant, and then he was angry. Oh, this plant's died, I've got no shade, I'm out of my comfort zone. Don't we become annoyed when we're pushed out of our comfort zone into extreme surroundings? Annoyance often becomes anger, fueled by pride. But God can change our hearts. He can bring about repentance. One person whose feast is this week that was angry and bitter towards the church was Saul, who saw the death of Stephen. Then we're on pursuit to Damascus to put to death other Christians. God converted him. He changed his heart. And Saul became the great Saint Paul. So too, God would now change the heart of Jonah. Jonah, this plant is a thing. You're upset because it has died. You did not plant it. You did not care for it. And yet you're upset because it's now dead. Well, how do you think I, as God, would feel when there's 120,000 people here who aren't plants but are persons? They're my persons. They're my people. Ought not I, as their father, be concerned about their spiritual welfare? How dare you impose on me your conditions, your vengeance, and your anger? And of course, Jonah realized then that he, like the people of Nineveh, was called to repentance, to change his thinking, to not be jealous, envy, and self-righteous towards others, but open and understanding. And in doing so, he came closer to God and received God's blessing.